Thank you, Steve. Thank you. I apologize, you guys. It's a wonderful day. It is, truly. Not only did we have, are we blessed with Weston's presence today, I believe that the Holy Spirit is here today. I believe that this morning that the Lord pricked my heart while I was sitting in the back, and out of the blue, I had a scripture come to me, and I was going the wrong direction, and the Lord pointed me. I said, I got to go to James. I opened my phone and went to chapter 4, and I hit it 2 or 3 times on my phone, and it wouldn't open, and I hit chapter 1, and it opened up. That's where we're going to be today, is just in chapter 1 of James. It's my prayer that as I go through this with you, that the Lord delivers the powerful words that He put on my heart as I read through it the first time this morning, because it's for someone, I'm sure, me mostly. And it's been a long time since I've been in this chapter, because I remember when I read it today that probably one of my first sermons I ever put together was for the East Local, and I used this, and it means so much more to me now than it did then. Not to mention I'm stepping out in faith to be here right now, because I would have never done this before. All right. Here we go. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. I'm looking at a row of young men here. I'm going to ask them a question. How many of you know what temptations are? You know what a temptation is? So when you're tempted of something, do you feel joy in that? Yeah, Cohen said no. He shook his head immediately. No, I don't feel joy in that. Why do the scriptures tell us we should take joy in diverse temptations? How many of you here can raise your hand and say that every time you faced a temptation, you've taken joy in it? Or is it that now that you know the Lord and you know some of His work, some of His commandments, now you have the ability to take joy in a temptation? As a human being, we most often tend to allow ourselves to be overcome by that temptation. And as young men, you're going to face a lot of temptations. You probably do now, but as you grow older, as you experience life, temptations are going to come at you, and you're going to have to make a choice if you're going to submit yourself to the temptation or if you're going to submit yourself to the will of God. It's hard. I still do it today. Do I read scriptures or do I turn on the TV? So tempting to turn on the TV. Guess what? I probably turn on the TV more than I... So, we're all susceptible to our temptations, but to take joy in something that stands to take you down, that comes with wisdom and that comes with experience. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Absolutely. I prayed for patience one time. It's the worst month of my life, I think. He tried me at every corner. I drove locally doing service work for a company. And I know every bad driver, we'll put it that way, every bad driver I encountered as I went about my work for a good solid month before I realized that I prayed for patience and the Lord was showing me what I needed to do for patience. Patience comes through that, well, it says here, trying of the faith. And I think I tried my faith today by being up here. And I got to admit that I don't do that. I need to do it more. I've been praying that the emotions would go away, that the Lord would wrap his arms around me while I was up here. I'm not saying they're completely gone, but I'm feeling peace. I'm feeling a peace. I tried my faith. I stepped out in faith, and I feel like the Lord blessed me. And maybe this whole sermon is for me, but maybe it's for one of you out there as well. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That's an awesome feeling. How many of you feel that you want for nothing? And I mean that not only in a spiritual way, but in a material way. You know, I grew up thinking that I was poor and had nothing. Number 5 of 6 kids. So I saw my share of hand-me-downs. I saw my share of, no, we can't do that. We don't have money. And I grew up wanting things. I'm an adult now, and I go get whatever I want. But I understand now it's not about the material things. First verse of Ezekiel chapter 14, thank you, Harvey Seibel. The Lord's going to come one day and he's going to split what we have. What do you think that means? When I read it, I see it as he's going to come back and he's going to take everything that's not necessary in our life. And he's going to show us these few things are what you need. When I read that one verse, I could read that verse so that I'm not misquoting it. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. And I've read that over and over. But to me, when I read it, it makes me think when the Lord comes back, he's going to wipe out everything that's unnecessary. And everything that's left is what is necessary. Spoils are those things that, what's the gain of war? When you go to war and you conquer someone, you take spoils. You take from them. You gain things from them. Right? It is those possessions. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. God's not going to tease you and scoff at you and scold you because you ask for something. Right? That's what upbraideth means. I got to be honest, I had to look it up to make sure I got it right. I did before I got up here. I looked it up. When you ask God for something, he's not going to come back at you like your playground friends when you were a kid, when you would say something and they would poke fun at you for saying that. That's not God. That's not God. You go to God and you ask him. He's not going to come back and scoff at you. And it shall be given him, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Right? You can pray to the Lord. And I in my last sermon, I talked about prayer and sincerity and having that conversation with God. And I said, you have to go to your closet. The scriptures tell us to go to our closet. Why do we go to our closet? So that the conversation is between the Lord and you. If you go to the Lord seeking wisdom, do it so that it's you and the Lord speaking. But if you go there in vain, if you go there with just that prayer, well, I want wisdom. Cohen wants wisdom. Cohen's going to go pray for it. But he doubts that the Lord will give him wisdom. When we do it that way, when we approach the Lord and we have doubt in our heart, he says we're like, how does he say it? We're like the wave driven with the wind. It means we're susceptible to anything. It means we're most likely going to fall to those diverse temptations instead of having joy in them, knowing that we have the strength to overcome them. Verse 8's a tough one for me because I always say, we have to practice what we preach. So I just don't preach stuff, right? No. Truly. Being double-minded or two-faced. It's everywhere in the world. I'm not going to go into details where I see it. There's no need to. But we see all the time that we're told to do something. We're told this is how it should be. This is how you should do it. This is what you should follow. And when you look at the person declaring that to be the right way, and they don't do it, they're not following after that. So when it comes to the Lord and what he says, you can say you follow the Lord, but if you don't, you're that double-minded, that two-faced person. I can say I'm a Christian all day long. But if I don't go out in faith, if I don't go out and try to be that example, and I leave these doors and I become that same old person that used to run the streets before he knew the Lord. That's that double-minded, that two-faced person. And we can't be that way. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. When we are humbled, the Lord sees that as a gift and he lifts us up. What do we always say we want to do here? Glorify the Lord. And when we're able to humble ourselves, the Lord lifts us up. Whether anyone else out there sees the glory in being humble, our Lord sees it. Our God sees it. And it brings joy to Him. That exaltation is a lifting up, a putting someone in a higher place. When we humble ourselves, we're in a higher, a better place with our Heavenly Father. But the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. When we can overcome that temptation, when we have the strength because of our faith, because of the love of the Lord that we know and we have no doubt in, we overcome that. But the prideful, rich, arrogant, and that happens in spiritual facilities. You see that? You hear about it? Those people will wither away as the grass. They will burn up. They will be scorched by the sun. They will be taken away, not given that reward. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. There's nothing to say about that. We know that. God doesn't scold you when you pray for something that is not worth it. You know, they say all the time, the little kid, I've heard it before. Have you heard about the little boy who prayed for a new bicycle and he didn't get the, you know? It's that same thing. The Lord's not going to, he's not going to do that. He's going to hear your prayer and he's going to give you what you need. But he's also not going to tempt you with something evil, something that you can't handle. And only God has the power. The devil doesn't have power to tempt you with something that you can't overcome. God is omnipotent and all-powerful. But he would never do that. He would never use that power in a bad way, in a wrong way, in an evil way. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived it, bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. You know, in my life, I always say, my own worst enemy is me. We have Satan that we have to deal with. We have that manipulator. He's the one that throws temptations in front of us, but it's me. It's my own doing that will cause my death, that will be the result of my undoing. I am my own worst enemy. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's no variables. God has a plan. God has a word. And we have it. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. There's no doubt about that, right? We're the first fruits of his creations. It says creatures, but yeah. He didn't make us to be like the cattle, like the fowl. He put man above all of that. We are that choice, creature, creation of our Heavenly Father. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Hear the word. Whether you're hearing the word that's preached from this pulpit, or whether you're hearing the word that the Lord puts in your mind when you read the scriptures, or you're sitting in a service and you hear the word in your heart and your mind, and it's telling you to do something that's not a part of that service at the moment. You have to listen. You have to hear the word. I heard the word today. I feel I heard the word today. For if any of you be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. You know, I look in the mirror, I make sure I'm straight. I don't have stuff on my face. I don't have something in my teeth. And I walk away, and 5 minutes later, I go back and check again, right? As humans, we're not actually looking inward towards ourselves. We go about our day looking in that glass and seeing only the outer part. What's inside? Is what's inside stronger or weaker than what's on the outside? But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. We have to look inward. Are we just an outside? Are we just a shell of Christianity? Are we just that person that looks in the mirror? 5 minutes later, you forgot what you saw? Are you able to see within yourself? Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their afflictions, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. To be like these little children, pure, without blemish. It's a work. It's a hard work. But we can do it. Thank you for your time. God bless you.